We started talking about optics last week, and we started talking about reflection. So we did the law of reflection, and we started talking about refraction and Snell's law. So now we get into really what is geometric optics proper. And in this case, what we're going to be dealing with is mirrors of different shapes and different properties, and we're going to be dealing with lenses, and ultimately combinations of lenses or mirrors that form compound tools like microscopes, telescopes, cameras, whatever. So let's start with the basic form of a reflecting surface itself, which is just a flat surface, okay? And let's say, so this is a mirror. All right, and so this is 100% reflective. No light passes through it. All the light that's incident on it is reflected off of it. Now let's imagine that we have a point here, and we want to know what we're going to see. Well, the kinds of things that we do when we're dealing with geometric optics is, remember, we're simplifying electromagnetic waves as rays, straight line paths, that basically would correspond to the direction perpendicular to the wavefront. Okay? So in this case, we can think of several rays emanating from this point. Okay? And then they're going to be reflected, and so there's a perpendicular at each of these places. And we know that the reflected angle is equal to the incident angle, so we're going to get this. For some reason, I'm curving. Okay. Okay. Now, if I had drawn this well, what should happen is that I should be able to follow these all back, okay, to a point over here on the other side, okay? So if I'm standing here, okay, this is me, I'm standing here, that's my nose, here's my eyes. So I'm looking here. It looks to me like there is an object, we call it, you got to be careful, we call that an image over here. Okay, this is what I see in the mirror. Okay? And I see that because my eyes can't tell the difference between this, that I have in dotted lines, and this, where there's a really an actual object there. We can't tell the difference. If 100% of the light is reflected here, and this is perfectly smooth, so there's no optical distortion, so like one eye is bigger than the other or whatever, I won't be able to tell, and this looks like there is an object right here. Okay? This is called an image. The original source is called an object. Okay? And in the case of, and in general, what we want to do is we usually are wanting to understand at least two distances. One from the optical surface to the image, I will usually denote little I for image. Okay? From the optical surface to the object, I will usually denote little o for object. Okay. Now you can use P and Q. This is what the book uses. Okay. But I'll just use I and O. I find it an easier thing to keep track of. I is for image, O is for object. Okay. Okay. That's embarrassing. Okay. So basically, this is now just a flat planar mirror. And we have an object over here, and an image over here. Now, in this particular case, when we have a flat mirror, we always have what is called a virtual image. Okay, now what do I mean by that? Well, we can actually have a couple different places where the light looks like it's coming from. In this particular case, it looks like it's coming from this side of the mirror. Now, there's a solid wall here. You can't see through it. So you're actually not seeing something through this mirror. So we call it virtual because no light that's getting to you over here is actually coming from this location. Okay? There is also something called a real image. And a real image is an image that corresponds to a location in whatever diagram we happen to draw where the light actually did pass through the location where that image is. Okay, and I'll show you examples as we go of virtual images and real images with different kinds of optical elements. Okay, but a flat mirror always has a virtual image. The image always looks like it's coming on this side of the mirror. Other types of things, concave or convex lenses and mirrors, can have real and virtual images depending on how close you are. Okay? The other thing about it is that we haven't done this yet, but let's imagine that here is the ground, okay? And this is a pole. The object is some post or a pole or a person or something. So we'll denote the height, the actual height of this as H. Okay? And for the image, we'll denote that as H prime. All right? So with flat mirrors, H prime always equals H. There's no magnification. It's exactly the same height. It looks like it's the same height. If I was standing to a mirror, I would be exactly the same height I am. Okay? And the other thing about it, and I may not be able to do this so that you can see it well enough. Couldn't find the best mirror. But this is what I have. The other thing about them is that, so okay, if we look, I don't know if people can, is this too low? People probably can't see. Can you see in there? No. All right, let me try it this way. Okay, can you guys, I'll just rotate it around. Can you see my hand in there? Does it look like about the size of my hand? Okay. What do you notice about that hand? What's different than my hand? It's reversed. So it's a left hand is showing up in there. All right? A flat mirror like this will reverse the image of, you know, whatever you have over here. Right hands look like left hands, etc. And this is something that comes up in other optical elements that we talked about, which is the orientation. So you care about a few different things here. You care about, is the image virtual or not? Virtual or real? Is there magnification and what is it? And what is the orientation of the image? Those are sort of the three key parameters of any particular optical configuration. And actually, beyond whether it's virtual or real image, usually you want to know where is the image. In other words, what is little I? Okay? So these are the kinds of questions that one wants, and we'll try to come up with relationships between I and O and properties of the mirror to figure out, you know, so that we can try to calculate these things. Okay? The next level of complication is now to take a mirror that is spherically curved. All right, so we have an example here, of a spherically curved mirror. All right? And what you'd like to do then is understand what the optical properties of this would be. Now, a spherically curved mirror turns out not actually to have very ideal properties, but it's a useful way to study this problem at the moment. So, first of all, there's two types. Let's put the object over here somewhere, all right? And there's two types of mirrors. There's a mirror where the reflecting surface, okay, so here's the opaque surface. The reflecting surface brings things to, basically has a center of curvature, okay, that is on the reflecting side of the mirror, all right? This is a concave mirror, spherical mirror, okay? And another kind is the opposite. This is a case where the reflecting surface is on the left, but the radius of curvature is over here on the right, and this is called a convex spherical mirror. Now, even if they're not spherical mirrors, if they have this general property that they're curved this way or the other way, if it's like they're wrapping around the light, you could think of it that where the light's coming from, or it's sort of bending away from the source of light, you still have the concave and convex distinction. All right? Now, the thing, let's actually take the concave case. All right. Let's make it bigger so it's a little more obvious what's going on. And so we have a point here, O. And I'm going to draw here now a few different angles and points to try to describe this thing. The middle here of the mirror we'll call V for vertex. Let's have a point here, A, where light is coming from O to this point A. And there will be an object point here, we'll call this capital I. All right. So this light will be reflected because, again, at that point A, the angle of incidence has to equal the angle of reflection. So the light will be reflected from O to A to I. Now, this perpendicular here that defines what those angles are with respect to, those actually point to this distance here. Okay. This distance is R, the radius of curvature. Okay? No. R is this distance. So we could call this point C. Okay, so R is the C to V line. Okay? It's this distance. Okay? Okay, and then we've already defined it before, but in this drawing we'll define it again. We have O, the object distance. Okay? So let's just review. I didn't say it explicitly, this here is little I. So the difference from point O to V is little o, that's the object distance. The distance from point C to V, where C is essentially the center of curvature, all right, this is the radius of curvature, this distance, that's a little r. And the distance from capital I, the image point, to the vertex V is the image distance, that's a little I. Okay? So image distance, radius of curvature, and object distance. Okay? Now, we also want to define some triangles here. This angle is alpha. This angle, so this is the angle here at O. The angle at C is beta. This angle of incidence and reflection, these are both theta. And then this angle here at I, we call that gamma. Okay? Now, why did we do that? Okay, I mean, the reason that we're doing that is we're going to use basically trigonometry to try to describe the relationship between O, R, and I. We can only do that if we draw these triangles. Okay? Because we know, for instance, that the sum of the angles of a triangle is always 180. Okay? So we can use that information. All right? So these are the angles that we have. Alpha at O, beta at C, gamma at I, and then 2 theta at point A. 2 theta because there's an angle of incidence theta and an angle of reflection theta describing the whole angle. All right. Now we can use a couple things. First of all, we can use the fact that, as I said, all of the angles, there's a triangle here from O to C to A and back. That triangle is different. We also have one from C to V to A. C to I to A and back. And so we can look at this and try to determine something. First of all, the sum of alpha, theta, and whatever this angle would be here should be 180 degrees. Well, beta plus this angle also should be 180 degrees. So that means that beta equals theta plus alpha. So that's one angular relationship we can write down right there. Now, we can also notice the same thing in terms of gamma, meaning that beta and theta plus whatever this angle is at point I, that should equal 180 degrees. Well, this angle plus gamma should also equal 180 degrees. So that means that gamma should equal beta plus theta. Okay? Those two thetas are the same because they're with respect to this perpendicular. This is the angle of incidence and the angle of reflection. So at every point on this mirror, even though it's not a flat mirror, the angle of incidence is equal to the angle of reflection. Okay? Now I've got something here where I can simplify this a little bit because I know that beta is equal to theta plus alpha. Okay? So I could actually write this as alpha plus 2 theta. And then I can basically get it so that alpha is on one side for this. So this says alpha equals beta minus theta. And this side, this says alpha equals gamma minus 2 theta. And I can set those equal to each other. And I hope that I... No, actually, I did that wrong. That's not what I wanted to do. I want to set theta. So I can set theta here. So theta is equal to beta minus alpha. And here we have... wait a minute. I did something wrong already. Well, I don't actually have the intermediate equation. But by getting both sides in terms of theta, what I have is alpha plus gamma is going to equal 2 beta. All right? Now, it's never a good idea to do this on the fly. So I'm not gonna try to do it impromptu. But basically, this is the final expression that you get. Alpha plus gamma equals 2 beta. So you've gotten rid of these theta angles because you don't really know what the angle of incidence and reflection will be on a case-by-case basis. So with this relationship here, we can make a simplification. Let's make it so that these rays are coming in almost parallel to the axis of the mirror. Okay? So if they're coming in almost parallel to the axis of the mirror, what that means is that basically alpha, as an example, is going to be equal, or is going to be very close to sine of alpha. We can make this sort of small angle approximation. All right? Most importantly, what this means is we can now write down alpha in terms of the distances that we have in these different places. So alpha is going to be, so here's alpha here. And if we want to know, I should say this is sine theta, but it's also equal to tan. So the tangent here, if this is the angle alpha, is going to be y, which is a to v, that distance, divided by the distance from v to o, which is little o. So this gives you that alpha is equal to av divided by o. We can write down that beta is AV divided by R. Same argument. Okay, so beta is here. All right, and if this is a very small angle, the rays are coming in at a very small angle, then I have AV is the Y component of the triangle, and then I have from V to C, which is the distance R, that gives me the x component, and so I would get that beta equals AV over R. And then if I wanted to know gamma, I'm going to get AV over I. So here's gamma. I have AV over I. Okay, so it's basically, because you can see, for instance, this triangle from O to A to V is not exactly a right triangle. But if alpha or beta or gamma is very small, then it becomes very close to a right triangle, and so then I can write down these expressions. Okay? Now, if this is the case, then what I could do is I could take this expression and I can write it down in terms of these. So AV over O plus AV over I is going to equal 2 times AV over R. And I can divide out the AVs. And so what you get is 1 over O plus 1 over I equals 2 divided by R. Okay? This we'll modify this expression slightly, but this expression is a very useful expression for you to know. It comes up for lenses also. It comes up for various types of mirrors. Even in modified form, it can come up in multiple element sequences of optical elements. So, but it gives you the relationship between R, which is just a property of the mirror, the radius of curvature in this case, and O and I. Now, this still assumes a spherical mirror, and one could try to generalize it, which we will do, for more general type of mirror, but it's still a very useful expression. Now, we can go to an extreme case in which we actually have an object at essentially infinite distance. Okay? So if the object is at infinite distance, okay, what is 1 over O? 0. Okay? So that means that we're left with this equation. That 1 over the image distance equals 2 over the radius of curvature. Okay? And this actually gets renamed 1 over F, where this is called the focal distance. Okay? And what that means, it's just the place where the light would be focused if the object was at an infinite distance from the mirror. Okay? Now, it's only the place that number, 2 over R, is only corresponding to the place where the image will be focused if the object is an infinite distance. When it's closer, this is not the case at all. However, this focal distance is still a useful number. If we know, and again, this now allows us to think a little more generally about a mirror that's not spherical may not have a radius of curvature per se, but it still will have a focal distance. And that can get specified by whoever is giving it to you, whether it's a camera maker or a telescope maker or a microscope maker or whatever. So what we end up doing is writing this, and this is the more normal way to think about this, is that the 1 over the object distance plus 1 over the image distance equals 1 over the focal distance. Okay? Now, there's a couple things here. And of course, the focal distance by this definition means that F equals the radius of curvature over 2 for a spherical mirror. Now, the thing about this is that if we have this kind of a configuration, so let's redraw the mirror. If I've got light coming in here, parallel to the axis, it's going to be reflected through, if I have drawn it right, which I probably have not, but okay. Let's say I have more parallel light here. Okay. So what happens is that for light that's coming in parallel to the axis of the mirror, that those rays will pass through this point, F, okay, the focal distance. If I reverse it and I put a source of light here, then these rays would travel to the mirror and they would emerge from this mirror parallel to the axis. Okay? So that's the geometry of it. That you have, you don't have these legs of light, but that's the geometry of what the light is doing. Okay? All right. Now, okay, I'm going to have to erase. Now, there's another, so we know now the relationship between the image and object distances and the radius of curvature or the focal length. But the other thing that we'd like to know is how do we tell what the orientation and magnification of the image is? So let's take this mirror and let's have an object here with a height h. So this is point O. And then what usually you will do is to graphically think about this is to try to draw different rays from this object. So what we will often do is, for instance, take one ray that goes from, say, the top to point V here. And, of course, that will be reflected over here. Another one one can take is, here is the focal distance, okay, point C, the center, the radius of curvature. So this one we know that will come out of the lens, out of the mirror, parallel to the axis of the mirror, okay? And what these two give you at this, they cross here. This is the place where the light will be focused. Given this object distance, O, we will now have an image distance here, little I. Okay? Now you can already tell something about this because this light came from the top of this. That means that the top of our arrow will look like it's at that point. If we followed this through for other points, we would see that the arrow looks like this at that point where the image is being formed. Okay? So, and just to, there's one other, I should write that this is R, just to remind you, the radius of curvature from V to C. Now, the thing, okay, so what can we say about this? Well, the way that we've drawn this is that we have H. This is going to be H prime. And what can we say about the orientation of H prime? It's perpendicular to O. It's inverted. Okay? So, in the sign convention, H prime, for instance, would have a negative sign, so that's important. But in this situation, we can calculate the magnification. Well, first it's defined to be H prime over H. Okay? So, first you know that the magnification is going to be negative, because H prime is negative and H is positive. But we don't really know H or H prime in general. We only know O and I and R. So we would like to get what the magnification is based on the optical properties of this configuration. So what that turns out to be is, if you look at the geometry here, I have I, okay, is the X coordinate of the X, the length of the side of this little triangle right here. Okay? Hopefully you can see that. And there is an angle here, theta. This triangle also, at this point, has an angle theta. Why? Because that's the angle of incidence. And this is the angle of reflection. So theta here and theta here are the same. So these two triangles are the same. It's just one's bigger than the other. Okay? But this allows me to tell what is the ratio of H prime to H. Well, it's going to be the ratio of this, the length of the X side of the triangle. All right? And in this configuration, I have a negative. So what I have is negative I over O. So this is the magnification of a spherical mirror, all right? Yeah, and you know, these drawings are not so great. There's much better drawings in the book, so hopefully you'll look at those. Okay, so that's how you calculate the magnification for a spherical mirror. This is now where you have an object that is outside of the radius of curvature, okay? If you were inside of the radius of curvature, you'd use the same expression, but then what we will see is that the sign of I changes because you'll get a virtual image. I should point out, I here, as we said, I is positive because it is on the side. There's a real image being formed here. The light, here's the image. The light that's coming here is passing through that image. So this distance I is positive. We define it to be positive when it goes in the direction of a real image. Okay? If the image was on this side of the mirror, it would be a virtual image and I would be negative. So it is very important to keep track of the sign of I depending on whether it's real or virtual. Here, the light is passing through the image, and so it's a real image, and I is positive. Okay? All right. Okay, I think I have enough time. What I'd like to do is problem 3, or at least set it up, which is one of your homework problems. So in the case of problem 3, so it says, determine the minimum height of a vertical flat mirror in which a person 5 feet 10 can see his or her full image. Okay? So let's just think about this. What they want to know is if you have a person, okay, and here's a mirror, and of course there's going to be an image here, so it's going to look a lot like, there's going to be a person over here. And you want to know how big this mirror needs to be so that the person on the left can see the full image of the person on the right. Okay? Well, what that really means is we want to know, and of course, you've also got to see to the top of the head. So what we want to know is, what is this distance? Okay, let's call it L. Okay? How big does that mirror have to be? All right, well, we can use some of the information that we gleaned already. First of all, we know that the radius of curvature is infinite. This is a flat mirror. There's an infinite radius of curvature. And because of that, we know that the focal length is also infinite. Okay? Focal length is 2 times R. We can then use the equation that we already had, 1 over F equals 1 over I plus 1 over O. And since this is infinite, this piece is 0, so we can then use this to produce that I equals negative O, or vice versa, O equals negative I. Okay? So this is problem 3. All right? Now, okay, that's fine. We can go a step further because, okay, so we have, this is H prime, this is H. Let's, by the way, write these explicitly. This is O, this is I. It's a virtual image, so I is net is less than 0. All right, we got to remember that. So, first of all, we need to know something about the size of this image. So we can use the fact that M is equal to negative, well, I have it above, I divided by O, which equals H prime over H. Now, we already described this a little bit with the flat mirror. With a flat mirror, the magnitude of O equals the magnitude of I. One's negative, one's positive, but so what we know is that this ratio is going to be 1. Okay? So if we substitute in, I is negative, well, I can do it a little more explicitly. So this equals 1. So we know, and it won't be a surprise to you, there's no magnification to a flat mirror. H prime equals H. It's the same height. Okay? All right. Now we want to understand, okay, since we know this, now we know what H prime is. Okay? So that's this distance. And we also know this distance. Okay? This distance is 2 times O, because it's O plus the absolute value of I. Okay? And so we can actually play the same game we just played to try to figure out, I'm sort of going the wrong direction across this board, I'm going to the left, but we could play the same game now. And we could say, well, I've got an angle here, you know, whatever it is, theta. We don't need to use it, actually. But there are 2 triangles. There's this triangle, and then there's this triangle. And again, they're the same triangle. They have the same angular, the 3 angles are the same. The only thing that's different is that this one's smaller than this one. Meaning that its length is half the length of the total triangle, the distance in this direction. Well, all the distances are twice. So what I can do is I could say, well, L, okay, I mean, I can write it explicitly, but we've already got the answer here. L is going to equal the height times the ratio of the sides of those triangles. So this triangle has a side O, this bigger triangle has a side 2O. So by multiplying by that ratio, I will get that H prime over 2 is going to be the length of the mirror that I need. And since this was for a 70 centimeter person, you get 35 centimeters. Okay? So that's kind of an involved problem, but it shows you the way in which you can use your information, and in particular, this equation, and of course we also use this one, to try to solve a problem. Let's go back to the concave lens for a moment. We've got a center of curvature here, C, and a focal point, F. Okay, and let's imagine that we have an image now here. So this is I. This is R. This distance here is F. Okay, sorry, this is not I. Sorry. That's O. That's the object distance. So now O is really close in to this mirror. All right. Well, if I were to just do the analogy of what I did before, well, let's consider, for instance, let's consider a parallel ray. Well, what do we know about a ray that's parallel to the axis? Where is that going to cross? Is it going to cross C, F, or O? F. Almost. If you're at an infinite distance, then what happens is this ray is going to pass through F. Okay? It seems counterintuitive because you'd think it'd go to the center of curvature, but it doesn't. If a ray goes perpendicular to the surface, it's just going to pass right back through C. By definition, it's the radius of curvature, so all the radial lines that are perpendicular to the surface go back through C. And then if it is coming through F in this direction, okay, then it's going to come out parallel to the axis of the mirror. Okay, now I can play this game that I had before. Okay, now I have an image over here. Now, first of all, is this a real or a virtual image? Virtual, okay? And that's the image distance. So I is going to be less than 0, all right? What can you say about the orientation? Well, it's still pointing upward, okay? So it's inverted. It's a good try, but it's not inverted, sorry. It's right side up. So this is opposite to what we have before. When we had an image that was outside here over here, we had an inverted image. That's not what we get. Well, here we have a right side up image. And in fact, we have such a mirror here, and hopefully you guys can see. Can you see my hand here? Okay. So is it right side up or upside down? Okay. And is it smaller or larger than my hand? Okay. Now, can you see it? Is it larger? And what's orientation? It's like a blob, right? Well, it's right side up. Try it. just try it. But so it's because I pass through this focal point, and then the image goes from upside down to right side up, from unmagnified to magnified, or whatever, demagnified, I guess. Okay? So in this case, M, which you still use the same equation, but since I is negative, this is a positive number, so the magnification is positive. And it will be bigger. If you go through it, you will calculate that I is bigger than O, and so the magnification is greater than 1.0 in magnitude. Okay? All right, so let me just say a few things about sign conventions. All right, first, O and I are positive for real objects. Okay? I mean, I doesn't have anything to do with the object. O is positive for a real object. O is negative for a virtual object and a virtual image. And you're probably thinking, well, what the heck is a virtual object? We'll get to that later. If I put several elements together, I can create a virtual object for another optical component. Okay? But I is negative when it's a virtual image, and positive when it's a real image. Okay? The radius of curvature, R, is positive if the center of curvature lies to the left, meaning lies to the object side of the mirror. R is negative if the radius of curvature lies opposite, on the other side of the mirror, than the object. So if the object is here, then if R is on this side, the center of curvature, then R is positive. If it was a convex, then the center of curvature would be over here, and I would have a negative R.